Listen. Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, the Seahawks superfan. We're going to continue our draft special with part two today. So Neil and the crew are going to be covering that. In the meantime, just a quick bit, since you've got the Seahawks superfan here at the opening, I'm going to talk a little bit about Seahawks news and rumors. Obviously, this week we tried to bring in TJ Lang, didn't get him. We did end up getting Eddie Lacy. I'll be honest, I've got a lot of concerns with him. Weight has been an issue. Drive has been an issue. When he debuted in the league, he had this great agility. He kind of reminded me of Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis is a different topic of conversation we can get to another time because there's a lot of debates about his Hall of Fame worthiness. But he was a big, strong, powerful guy, but really good agility, light on his feet, moved really well. And this past year or two, between the injuries and the weight, he seems to have lost that. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he becomes a wrecking ball. Hopefully he does all sorts of crazy, crazy things. But until I see it on the field, I won't necessarily believe it. Hopefully he is the guy we think he's going to be. He's overweight right now. He weighed in like 267. He usually plays at 235. But I don't feel too concerned about that. He hasn't had much chance to recover from that offseason ankle injury. I do want to talk Marshawn Lynch a little bit, though. There's some rumors swirling around. And I'll just tell you what I know as a Seahawks super fan. So one of the things that I've been able to do is get really plugged in with Home of the 12s. That's the largest Seahawks Facebook group. I'm one of the admins. Another one is a local radio personality, G. Scott. And that's significant because he's really plugged in with the players. That's really sort of his background, is he's an insider. He knows the players well. He's very familiar with them, you know, on sort of their terms. So he came out with a report, which he discussed on air with John Clayton, that Marshawn Lynch was coming out of retirement. There's been no official paperwork, no word from the league, not a lot of other sources, but I will tell you this right now, just from being a Seahawks super fan, G. Scott is a credible source. He doesn't say things like this idly. If this is coming out there, it's coming from somebody in the situation. I'll be honest, given my experience, probably Marshawn Lynch himself or one of his representatives. So pay attention to that. If you want to know who to follow, follow G. Scott. He's really, really plugged into this kind of information. It's credible. Does that mean that's necessarily going to happen? No. I mean, the kind of prevailing idea right now is that Marshawn Lynch is coming out of retirement and that he's trying to find his way to the Oakland Raiders. In order to do that, he would either need to be released by the Seahawks or he would need to be traded. I don't necessarily know which scenario is more likely. I think if the Seahawks could trade him for just a seventh-round pick and have him renegotiate his contract, which would call for $9 million, which is no more than even Oakland would pay for him at this point, I think they would be inclined to do so. But if this doesn't happen, it's because something has changed. Because the information out right now that it's possible or likely that he's coming out of retirement comes from a credible source. With that, I'm going to turn it over to the main event of the evening. That's going to be the guys talking the draft. So kick it off, Neil.
Hello, listeners. Hello, world. Here we are, part two of our draft preview, and we're looking at our big board and our top five players in all the different positions. Last week, we did offense. This week, it's defense. And, yeah, it's worth saying, I think, guys, that on my top 50 list, I got 28 defensive players and 22 offensive players, if that comes to 50. Yes, it does. And who am I speaking to? Well, I'm speaking to Chris, our Saints fan. Chris, have you just finished dinner with Malcolm Butler?
Now New England shut us down. We got to wait till April for that one.
Is he going to be a Saint? I saw them blowing kisses at each other online, saying how wonderful the trip was.
I think right now he's still trying to see how his relationship with New England's going. You know, they changed their Facebook status to Weirdsies. We'll see what happens.
I think, you know, if I was a Saints, I would keep that 30-second pick and or whatever pick you're going to give up for him and just draft a guy. And we'll speak about the cornerbacks later. And also with us tonight, our Buffalo Bills super fan Rob. How are you doing, Rob? And what's going on? Have you signed any fullbacks this week?
No fullbacks. We did sign a wide receiver. That's nice. Now instead of last year when we had one really good receiver who always got injured, one kind of good receiver, and four terrible receivers. This year we're going to go with one really good receiver who always gets injured, and I think they've signed three receivers in the offseason so far. They look like they're planning on just having five or six low-end mediocre guys, and we're going to see how that plays out. Should be fun.
Yep, it's a promising season. You've got your quarterback back in there in the fold.
We do have
happy.
A quarterback.
Yeah, and Doug Whaley will nail the draft as usual.
He'll nail the draft. It's between 2010 and 2013. That covers four drafts. Those would be his first four. There are only three players left from those four drafts. He's nailing them. If by nailing them, you mean helping the other 31 teams in the league. Yes, he's nailing them.
Well, come on. It's obviously quality over quantity.
I guess.
Right, guys. Let's leave Buffalo behind and talk about something far more interesting. We're going to talk about top five defensive players. Rob, I'm going to hand it over to you to start off with the edge players, and maybe we can also get into a discussion over these next couple of positions about where these guys fit. Because I think there are question marks about their size, perhaps, for some of the players. Can they be ends? Can they be tackles? Can they be edge guys, linebackers? So why don't you go ahead and take us through the edge players?
Absolutely. I think that's kind of the deal is... all of us are, you're going to hear a couple names probably over and over. Maybe some of us have, playing edge and defensive end, outside linebacker, as an edge as well, things like that. So it's going to be, I think, kind of a fun discussion. For me, my top five edge guys, number one is Myles Garrett. He's just insanely good. I think he's one of the best players to come out of the draft in recent memory, definitely the past couple of years. Number two, I have Taco Charlton. Number three, I have the kid from UCLA, Dakaris McKinley. Number four, Derek Barnett. And number five, who I like, but I just hate that he kind of quit on his team, is Charles Harris, the defensive end out of Mizzou. What do you guys got? I'll start with you, Chris.
Well, with doing the edge rankings, I actually did more of a... With my edge guys, I had exclusive 3-4 guys. And then... Because these are the guys that I feel like could stand up. I went with Tack McKinley as my first. TJ Watt, second from Wisconsin. Ryan Anderson. And then Tim Williams, your Alabama boys. And then Tyrus Bowser at the University of Houston. Big concern here. This is something that we keep hearing, the edge position is very strong in this draft, and I think it depends on what kind of formation you play. I think if you're looking at people who can actually stand up in a 3-4, it's a pretty weak class. Tack McKinley can, he has all the physical stats that you want, all the attributes you're looking for, but very weak repertoire of pass rushing moves, and he's looking to have the same shoulder surgery that your boy Shaq, I'm sorry, the kid from Clemson.
You're right though, Shaq Lawson.
Well, thank you, Lawson.
Yeah.
Where, that's a concern. If I'm taking somebody in the first round, I want to make sure I have him. I'm not waiting a year to see the turnout on this. My team's not that good. So I think it's there's some talent here, but none of these guys I'd be willing to take in the first round.
My five are. I also have Myles Garrett in there. I looked at the edge rushers as being the guys who would probably be either good enough to have some pace to get in some pass rush, but not necessarily big enough to be playing on the line. I think Myles Garrett is probably going to be on a couple of my lists here because he is just that good and stands alone. Whereas I looked at Charles Harris, who's number two on my list. I looked at Harris and thought, can he stand up at defensive end? I don't think he can. I don't think he's big and strong enough. I think he'll be a guy who's going to be on the edge there. And I'm not sure. I wouldn't like to see him in coverage either. So he didn't make the outside linebacker list for me. Then I've got McKinley, who seems to have been in all three of our our list there. And I do have a note somewhere on McKinley, which, of course, I can never find. I'm looking for it. I've got him really, okay, he's an edge player, but I think he's probably going to end up being an outside linebacker who rushes the passer on third downs. But he is fast. I mean, the guy's 250, and he came in with a 4.59, which is going to draw a lot of attention, isn't it, when it comes to the draft process. I have TJ Watt at number 4, and I have Tim Williams, although I have to say I was probably scraping the bottom of the barrel there because I don't really know if I like Williams all that much.
Yeah, it's becoming, you know, this is somebody who was projected. If you look back, say maybe 2 months ago, Tim Williams was considered a top 5 pick. There were mock drafts that had him above Allen. Now it's hard to find him in a mock draft above the 3rd round. This kid has just fallen considerably.
Does he have off the field problems?
Everything's a problem with him. On the field, off the field. I believe he's already in the drug program for the NFL. He's said that the last thing I read, I believe it was Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, stated that scouts see him as a bigger risk than Gregory for the Cowboys. That's not a
really?
Name you want to be compared to. Yeah, he's got issues.
All right, so we got to make, I mean, as far as our top five, I guess, who do we go probably? I know two of us had Miles number 1, so we'll go him 1. I mean, we had a bunch of, I think for the most part, we had a bunch of different names out there. Who would you feel comfortable with for 2? McKinley?
I think he was the consensus number 2. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's consensus-wise, yeah. I mean, we all had, I think he's the only guy we had on all of our boards. Number 3.
We have Watt on twice.
Yeah, TJ. And that kid's impressive. The more I watch TJ Watt, the more I like him.
Don't you dare say anything about bloodlines. I hate bloodlines.
Number 4. Did 2 of us have Taco on the top 5?
I think both you guys had Taco and Charles Harris, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean. I like Taco ahead of Harris.
Yeah.
So it's him 4 and Harris 5?
Yep.
We'll wrap a bow on
that
it?
Sounds
all
about right.
All right.
Yep. I wonder with just looking at Taco Charlton, this guy he's a big guy in terms of all these other guys. Isn't he around about 6'6" and about 280 pounds?
6'5", 272 is what I have on my list.
Yeah. Does he make it onto, will he make it onto, well, we'll find out if he makes it onto the defensive end list. But I like his size. I think he's great. I like a good big guy, 6'6", coming off the edge. Nice.
Yeah, no, he's definitely on base to end.
Yeah. Okay, guys, who's going to take on the defensive ends? Is that you, Chris?
Yeah, I'll go with that. Now, these are my base defensive ends in a standard 4-3 alignment. I have Myles Garrett as 1, not a surprise. Solomon Thomas as 2. Derek Barnett from the University of Tennessee from 3. And then I keep flip-flopping back and forth between Charles Harris and Taco Charlton. I like them both, but for different reasons. And neither one of them really tested out the way that I'd expected them to at the combine. But both are guys that I feel like can get to the quarterback. I'm leaning towards Taco above because I feel like he can give you more on the run, and your run defense. But both of them should be gone before round 2. What did you have, Neil?
I have got on there Myles Garrett, number 1. I think that's fairly clear. Solomon Thomas, I have number 2 as well, Chris. And I would want to ask you about Solomon Thomas because I wonder where he's going to play. He's one of my prime candidates for this. Well, is he big enough to play on the line? Is he fast and agile enough to be outside linebacker? Where's this guy going to play? Is he going to be a defensive end in a 4-3?
I think so. I think that's where he's best. I think he reminds me a lot of Cameron Jordan from New Orleans, where he can be a really good defensive end, lined up over the right tackle, and then on passing downs can give you both an edge rush and can drop on the inside. You know, the Bennett from Seattle is another one who he reminds me of. So I know at 6'3", he's not as tall as you necessarily want, His arms are a little bit shorter than you want, but I think he makes up for that with effort. I mean, the kid plays like his hair's on fire. It's insane. So, no, I think we're going to see big things from Solomon Thomas.
But it's going to have to be in a 4-3 defense, you think?
I do. I don't see the benefit of him in a 3-4 unless, you know, I said the same thing about Joey Bosa in San Diego. Most teams spend 90% of the time in a nickel anyhow. So I think in these kind of situations, you look past what kind of defensive base you run and you grab the best player on the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I'm sure you're right. Okay, the rest of my top guys I had in there, Derek Barnett at 3. And you guys are the same as you, Chris. I've got Taco Charlton at 4. And I've got, just to get him in somewhere, I put my boyfriend, Tano Passignon, in at number 5. Although I think at the end of the day, he'll end up being a defensive tackle, probably. Probably maybe even a 3-4, a 3-4 end, because he's a big guy, 6'7", 290-odd. But I had to get him in somewhere, so he goes in there.
All right. I guess that makes me next. And, I mean, I don't really have any names that are different than what's already been mentioned. We're all going to have the same top four, actually. Cause I got Garrett 1, you know, in a runaway, obviously. Solomon Thomas. I have Derek Barnett at 3, Taco at 4, and then I have Charles Harris as my number 5 defensive end. So not really any names from you guys. All really good players, though. Can't wait for this draft.
Do you think, guys, do you think if we're looking at Garrett, we're looking at a 4-3, primarily a 4-3 style end? Solomon Thomas the same, Barnett the same, Charlton and Harris. I think Harris is is he an outside linebacker? Where's he going to? Is he going to just be the edge guy? What do you think? Are we looking at 4-3? Well, base 4-3 guys.
I think so. Charles Harris would be the one that I think more than any of them that could stand up, and you wouldn't lose as much.
And one of you guys say something nice about Tano Passignon, please.
The kid's a monster. This is somebody that's what's amazing about this draft is that we each gave our top 5 base defensive ends, and there's still guys. Passano, I don't think he goes in the first, but it wouldn't shock me if he ended up late in the first round. Jordan Willis, I'm actually kind of surprised if he does fall out of the first round. There's first round talent that didn't make our top 5.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, this is hands down the strongest position in the draft.
So I think are you going to nail down our top 5 then, Chris? It seems fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I think we just did.
I think we all agree. It was pretty consensus from the jump.
Yep, I think we're looking at Garrett, Thomas, Barnett, and then Charlton and Harris in whichever order you want those two.
Yeah.
But it's hard to argue. Right, I mean, the depth there is phenomenal, so... no doubt in the second straight year where there's been a great defensive line depth, Washington, who's definitely in need, will probably leave them all again like they did last year, which will annoy me no end. Right, and we can move on now to the defensive tackles. And I think we're probably going to have the same conversation here in terms of, are these guys defensive tackles? And if they are they going to be playing... are they going to be playing what? Are they going to be 5 technique guys? Are they going to be ends? Are they going to be 3 technique guys? Or is there even possibly a nose tackle, so a 1 technique guy in here? We'll see. My top 5 are obviously Jonathan Allen. And I think he's probably going to be number 1 across our board, isn't he? And we've got, I think it's Caleb Brantley. Or I get mixed up with all these C's. I think it's Caleb, isn't it? Caleb,
yes,
Brantley.
Caleb.
The guy from Florida. Then I have Malik McDowell, who I think is a bit of a talking point player. Chris Wormley, and I've actually got 6 guys here. I've also got Montrevious Adams and also Carlos Watkins. So, Rob, give me your 5.
All right. Well, in my top 5, Jonathan Allen, number 1. My number 2, I got flip-flopped with you. I got Malik McDowell, the kid from Michigan State. I have him as my number 2 guy. And I have Caleb Brantley from Florida, 3. And then my next two guys I put, I think I'd probably have Montavious Adams from from Auburn. Okay. That's where he's from, right? Yeah. And, but the last guy, a little bit of a project, small school guy that I really like, is Larry Ogunjobi. He played at Charlotte. For those of you that don't know, last year I was a huge mark for Sheldon Rankins, who's now in New Orleans. I think this kid is like a raw version of Sheldon Rankins. So I'm probably a lot higher on him than most, but I think, you know, if he ends up on the right team, he could be a beast.
Do you know what sort of size we're talking about with him?
He's a short, I don't have his exact size numbers in front of me, but I know he's like a real low base, short, squatty guy.
Well, he's only from my understanding at this, the official measurements, he's only 2 pounds lighter than Brantley, but they're both 6'3", about 305.
Okay, Chris, before we go on to your top five, can we just have a word about Malik McDowell? Because surely this is one of these players you get in every draft, isn't it? Along comes a guy who appears to be super talented, but then plays when he wants to play, shuts it down when he fancies, and maybe isn't the great locker room guy. A lot of questions about his leadership. Where do we stand on Malik McDowell? Because he looks terrific. He's got fantastic size and movement skills.
You know, again, we have another Michigan State player that we have this conversation about. I feel like we have this every year. He's not in my top five. He's one of those players that I'm interested in because he plays when he wants to. And I would rather take a attack McKinley, who I went on a small rant about before, who's going to have surgery. And you really have to teach how to play the game. But I would take him over McDowell because McDowell could be a top 10 pick if he wanted to be. I have no interest.
How important to you guys is a love of the game?
It's everything.
Yeah, I mean,
Rob?
I mean, I think it's important because, you know, granted, you know, everyone obviously plays for money, but when you're running through those two-a-days and you're grinding it out, I mean, it takes a certain type of person to be able to do that and excel and deal with it and just kind of grind through. Someone like that, I mean, I can't say anything because I had him second, although, you know, some of the things that he said at the combine were a little bit interesting, to say the least, about, you know, basically admitting that he took plays off and also saying that eventually his coaches just gave up and put him in defensive positions that he liked. You know, I mean, I just think that you got it, like, if you don't love the game, it's going to be difficult to kind of shine. You know, when you're doing all of those things, you're going to be, you know, kind of grow to resent it a bit.
See, I'm not a great fan of loving the game. I'm a great fan of being a professional, but I'm not sure I'm a great fan of loving the game. And it sounds like this guy's pretty unprofessional heading into his professional career. He'll need to sort that out. But anyway, Chris, go back to you, Chris. Let's have your five then.
Yeah, what I ended up with was Allen first, Caleb Brantley, Carlos Watkins. And then, you know, I threw two nose tackles in this. More, I think, just to kind of get the conversation going on them. I'm a big fan of Ryan Glasgow out of Michigan, and then Dalvin Tomlinson out of Alabama as well. Glasgow, he reminds me a lot of his brother, who's now the starting center for the Detroit Lions. He's a big, mean kid. He's just somebody who's going to sit there, and a lot like, you know, another name I'm hearing thrown around with him is Kyle Williams out of Buffalo, who came out of LSU many years ago. He's just going to scrap with you. You're not going to be able to consistently run at him with one lineman. I like that. He may not give you those splash plays, but you're going to get him in the fourth, fifth round, and he could be on your team for the next 10, 11 years.
Are they pure nose tackles, those two guys?
Yeah. You're not going to get much pass rush from either one of them.
Because you've got Brantley, who can probably play a little bit of nose tackle, but these guys proper nose tackles.
Correct. Yeah. No. Brantley and Watkins, we'll I think we'll excel in both facets of the game. These guys are two that I don't want them in on passing downs.
But like you said, you know, those tackles don't go high, so they're going to go in the fourth, fifth round. And, yeah, you can get a 10-year starter there. And, of course, with a name like Glasgow, it surely cannot fail, Rob.
These are facts.
Let's have a look and see if we can go on, Rob.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, just talking about, like, nose tackles, you know, big body, aggressive guys. You know, you look at last year, a guy like DJ Reader ended up, big body guy, ended up going to Houston, I think, in the fourth or fifth round, and he played great, you know, and he's kind of, you know, so, there's definitely value in the later rounds finding, you know, guys, you know, these bigger bodied guys that could, you know, maybe move a little bit, maybe not bring a bunch of splash plays, but, well, you know, can still get the job done.
I also have to wonder, with the renaissance of the running back, perhaps in the league over the last couple of years, and maybe going forward, maybe nose tackles will become more popular again across the league. Who wants to say something about Jonathan Allen? Because obviously we all have him as our number one guy in this group, but there are question marks about his shoulders, Chris.
That's an issue. That's something that I know a lot of teams are paying attention to. He's going to fall. You know, there was a lot of talk early on in the process. Could, you know, Chicago take him? I think that 4, or San Francisco at 2. He's somebody who I think falls out of the top 10. I think we're going to see a pretty big fall out of Jonathan Allen in this draft.
Drops out of the top 10?
I believe so.
Rob? Tell him he's mad.
I actually think the same thing. I think it could definitely happen. One, with all the top end, you know, this draft is just so loaded that you don't need to take a, you know, I don't want to say take a chance, because I think it's, you know, a pretty strong bet that he's going to be a really strong NFL player. But as someone who drafted a player who fell a little bit because he was injured last year, you know, I think that's something that could definitely happen. Top 10 for sure, because there's just so many good guys, especially if a couple quarterbacks go. You know, I mean, you take two quarterbacks that go and say one or two of the running backs go, I easily see him falling to the 12 to 15 area.
Let's not forget that this time of year, Alabama had two stud defensive tackles that we thought would be at least top 15, and both Reed and I believe it was Washington, and they both fell out of the first round. And neither one of them had an injury risk.
Yeah, that's fair. Very fair, yeah. Okay, looking at the top 5 then, we certainly have our top 2 there in Jonathan Allen and Caleb Brantley. Number 3, well, it looks like, sorry, Chris, but it looks like Malik McDowell will get in there at number 3, getting 2 votes from us. And then we're probably looking at, well, two of Adams, Glasgow, Tomlinson, and the guy you put in there just to really annoy me there, Rob, Ogunjobi.
Ogunjobi. Listen, yeah. You're going to love him. You're going to love him next year. You're going to love him.
Okay. Right, do you want to make a shout for any of your guys there, Chris? Glasgow? Well, put Glasgow in there, shall we? So if we have Allen 1, McDowell 3, sorry, Allen 1, Brantley 2, McDowell 3, Glasgow 4, and Ogunjobi at 5. How's
I think
that?
I think we all had Watkins in our top 5.
Yeah, Watkins would be ahead of him.
Yeah.
As much as I like him, that's just more of a you know, I realize that I'm on the outside on that one.
So do you want Watkins at 4 and Glasgow at 5 then?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that works.
No love for Wormley.
I'm a big fan of Wormley.
Michigan tackle.
And I think this is one of those situations where you don't want to be a homer. I mean, Chris Wormley is from my hometown. He went to to my favorite college. Maybe I'm too low on him because of that. I try not to elevate, but he just does he does everything well, nothing great. I think we had this discussion on a podcast a while back. It reminds me of an old Tennessee defensive tackle by the name of Turk McBride. Now, McBride had a very solid career. He bounced around from, I think, Kansas City, and he spent some time in New Orleans, if I remember correctly. But nothing great. Just a good, solid, rotational defensive lineman. I think that's his future.
I have to ask, Chris, because the world is thinking about this right now, but you say that he's from the same small town as you. Now, I know America's quite a diverse and a bit weird place, but is this a small town where everybody's called Chris?
Where everybody is called Chris? There's a couple of us. I mean, three. The third one, we don't want to talk about the third one.
Okay, because I only know two Chris's from that town, and two guys from that town, they're both called Chris.
A good strong
who's
name.
Who's the third one?
I said, well, we won't discuss him.
Okay. Right, let's move on then to the outside linebackers. Rob, do you want to take us through the outside linebackers?
Yeah, absolutely. Going through my time, I'm going to mention, I got four guys that I want to mention. One of them, I actually already had in the edge. He's my number three guy, McKinley. I did my number one. Is I think in a 4-3 he could work inside or outside at the will linebacker spot. Reuben Foster, love him. Hope he's still there at number 10. Hassan Reddick is my number two, the kid out of Temple. And then I also have Zach Cunningham is my number four out of Vandy. Just a playmaking machine. Would have been fun to see him with some better talent around him to see what he was capable of doing. That defense, other than him, I don't think there were a lot of strong players on it. And then, lastly, the kid from Florida, kind of an injury history, I believe, but Jared Davis. I think he'd be real, real good at kind of playing that spy role in the NFL when the teams go against a mobile quarterback. How about you, Neil? What do you got?
Well, I have Hassan Reddick as my number one and my clear number one in this group. I think he. Am I right in saying that he worked out with the defensive linemen or defensive ends in the combine? I think the guy's like 6 foot one, 237 pounds.
As I say, this is a kid who came into college as a safety, then fell down to defensive end because they needed some pass rush, and now is an outside linebacker. He didn't jump from position to position because he couldn't play the previous position. This kid is just that truly talented. He is what everybody thinks Jabril Peppers is going to be. I'm a huge fan of Reddick, and I fully expect him to be gone by pick number 11. I think he's off the board when New Orleans picks with their first pick.
Whoa, number 11?
Come I do. On. They're paying lot of attention to him.
What sort of system is he going to be playing in then, Chris? Is that a 3-4 you have there in New Orleans?
It's a 4-3. He'll be playing a weak side linebacker, and he will be that Dennis Allen likes to have a lot of times the defensive ends stand up in almost a 3-4 set. He did that a lot with Paul Kruger last year, and I think Hassan Reddick would take that spot as just a stand up blitzer.
And is he good in coverage? Can he cover? You know, play that will linebacker slot.
I think he can. I think he's definitely fast enough, and he can turn his hips to follow a running back or a tight end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just to finish off my list then, Rob, sorry, I've got McKinley in there. I also have Jared Davis. And then I have Ryan Anderson as well. And that's all I'm going to give you. I think I've got four guys in there only. I thought Zach Cunningham was more of an inside linebacker, and I think you're right with Foster. I think Foster can probably play in certain outside linebacker systems, but I like him as an inside linebacker. He's probably
ethically an inside linebacker, but one, I wanted to make sure that we covered him. So I wanted to mention his name because he's an uber talent. And two, I think he's, the Bills drafted Reggie Ragland last year, who's a great inside linebacker. Foster's that, but he can, he has coverage ability, and he's in my opinion, a faster moving athlete. So I think I do think in some systems, I think in a lot of systems, he could probably play, the weak side, that will position. All right, Chris, what do you got?
Well, you guys, everybody you listed, I have down as an inside linebacker, so my list is going to be much different, with the exception of Hassan Reddick. I do have him as my clear-cut favorite and my only first-round talent as an outside linebacker in a 4-3 set. Then from there, I have Alex Anzalone from Florida, who, super athletic kid, high effort, always hurt. You know, he and Jared Davis, unfortunately, have the same breakdown. Watch the film. If they could stay on the field, they'd be unstoppable. I have Jalen Reeves-Maben from Tennessee, who I think is going to give you trouble if you expect him to be able to cover. But super athletic, undersized guy. He's going to put some pressure on the quarterback. And then I have Jabril Peppers, because I don't think he can play safety. And I don't think he's that good of a linebacker either. But I have him fourth as my outside linebacker. And then Paul Maguilar Jr., Arizona, who's another outside, smaller guy who would do well in your cover two schemes.
Okay.
Let me hear it for Jabril Peppers, because I've been expecting some heat on that one.
Why don't you think he can play safety in the box?
He's very slow to react. I love the kid. I love his personality. I love his mentality. But with the exception of his ability in the return game, it's very hard to watch a game and see somebody who dominated. And every single one of these players that we just listed, you can watch at least one game, even against a small school, to where they took over that game. He hasn't. He always looks like he's a fish out of water. He's not a good open field tackler. He has one career interception. I have a hard time believing somebody who could play safety in the NFL went through his entire college career with one interception. And if I remember correctly, it was against Ohio State on a tipped ball. So it was more of a right place, right time kind of situation.
So where's the buzz coming from for Peppers?
I think the buzz is just because he's diverse. He plays a lot of different positions. On a really good team that gets national exposure. Like, I have him listed at safety. Spoiler alert, he's on my top five, but barely. I mean, I don't love the kid by any means.
Well, one, nobody builds his team up better than Harbaugh. He does a great job at that. That's why it wasn't too long ago we were talking about Chris Wormley being a first-round pick, too, and that seemed to cool down a little bit. And Jabril Peppers has those splash plays. He has those sports center plays in the return game. I've made the comparison a million times, and I'll keep doing it. He's Ted Ginn Jr. on defense. He's somebody who's going to go into the NFL as a dynamic punt returner and has to learn how to play football. I wouldn't be happy with him until the third round. I would be upset with the Saints pick if they took him in the second, let alone the first.
So not number 11 then.
That's definitely not number 11. Who do you got?
Yeah, I think he will. I've got Reddick and McKinley. Anderson, Davis. Those would be my guys. I think Reddick is clearly the number one guy here, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with Peppers, because your team is actually the one who's projected as the landing spot. I mean, that's my thing is everybody tells me I'm crazy for Jabril Peppers not being a first round pick, but everybody I talk to, nobody wants them on their team in the first round.
No, Washington doesn't need a sort of, we've got Sue Cravens and who's transitioning to safety, and we just signed DJ Swearinger, so I can't see us taking him, but no, with my first round pick, I always want my team to take a player who knows which position he's going to be playing and has played that over a number of seasons. I want that, at least that security. Of course, no first-round pick is secure, but at least there's some basic things you can see in your first-round pick, and that is somebody who's played the position consistently, been very good at it, good enough to be a first-round pick, and has done it over a period of time. That's what you want, surely. And yeah, Peppers doesn't offer that.
I want, with the exception of the return game, I want you to be able to come in and do one thing well for me. What is, whether it's rush the passer, whether it's stuff the run, something. You need to be able to go in there day one and win that job. I don't see how Peppers does any of that.
I also would agree with what you said earlier, Chris, and that my team isn't good enough to start taking these developmental project players who might turn out to be sensational, but Christ, we need help now.
Yeah, that's what the third round's for. That's what the fourth round's for, is to take these. If I'm taking a project based off his athletic skills, I'm taking Tano Passano.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's fair. So come on then, Rob. Wind up our outside linebackers for us.
All right. Well, I guess we'll do. Yeah, right. Well, Reddick's our clear number one, I think. Now, I mean, as far as the rest, I think it was really just open to interpretation. You know, as far as, you know, the position, it looked like, you know, as far as, you know, outside linebacker, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing we're not going to include Foster on this list. So, you know, and Takaris McKinley, I know two of us had him, but do we fit him because he's more of an edge guy?
Yeah, I think go with McKinley.
I like Jared. Yeah. I mean, I like Jared Davis. Do you like? What are your guys' thoughts on putting together a five? Because
yeah, well,
I think Chris, Chris's list is a little bit more like a traditional, you know, outside linebacker position, where, you know.
Well, I went against the grain a little bit so we could talk about somebody different, because I figured we would have a lot of, you know, Fosters and Cunninghams and McKinleys. But right now, just the general consensus. I mean, we had Reddick one. I think both of you had Foster, Davis, and Cunningham. So there that would be a clear four. I'd make a case for Alex Anzalone. His tape is really strong. He's an impressive kid. If he can find a way to stay healthy, you're going to like him on your team.
I got a question for you. Someone who we didn't mention, but is a player that I like. What are your thoughts on just, like, kind of coverage skills and stuff of Elijah Lee, the kid from Kansas State?
Elijah Lee is going to be somebody who I think goes higher than expected. I know a lot of mock drafts have him in the 6th to 7th round. But he's a monster on special teams. I don't like when he turns his hips. He can get a little stiff. And has next to no bend, from what I'm seeing. But if New Orleans picks him up in the, say, late 3rd, early 4th round, I'm not upset. And I'm glad you brought him up. He's a name to watch. He's kind of climbing up the draft boards quite a bit.
Yeah, he's a player. He's a player that I like, that just for the system that the Bills are going to be running, so I was curious. I mean, I know you definitely watch more tape than I do, so I was curious kind of what your opinion was on him.
I certainly think he's not afraid to stick his nose into the tackle, and if Washington took him in the 4th round, I'd be very happy, because I think he's the sort of player who is going to start off in special teams and going to work his way into a lineup in various packages over time. But yeah, he's no Malik McDowell, is he, when it comes to putting his body on the line? Okay, so I think we've got Reddick and McKinley and Foster and Davis and Anzalone in there. So
we'll go with that. Yeah,
I think that's quite good.
It works.
Yeah, and then inside linebackers, and I think here we come to probably one of the top players in this draft, and that's Reuben Foster. We mentioned him in the outside linebackers, and we mentioned him there because he's that good. He can play both positions. He is the sort of player, I mean, I think, was it you, Rob, who mentioned your guy Ragland?
Yes.
He's everything. He does everything Ragland does, except he does it faster. He does it with greater flexibility, great movement, fabulous hips. He's going to be fine in coverage. He's going to be all over the field, and he is also just a real leader, isn't he, in terms of making his team better on the field. Great player.
Yeah, he's a team captain type guy, for sure.
Yeah. So after him, I've got Raekwon McMillan and Zach Cunningham. And honestly, Zach Cunningham is on there because I wanted to get three guys on the list. I don't like him at all. He looks like he's made of... he looks like a straw out there.
I agree. The more film I watch of Zach Cunningham, the less I understand the buzz. He's very high cut. Mm. He tackles very high. And I can't remember if it was a Northwestern game I watched the other day. He can be very slow to react. Now, I have to go back and do some research and see. I know he had some injury issues, some lingering injuries this year. So I want to make sure he wasn't just hurt that game, and I'm judging him unfairly. But, man, besides his ability to block field goals, which he had a couple of, and his height, I'm confused by him.
He's very flat-footed. He's got the turning circle of a tanker, of an oil tanker. Who have you got in your top five, then? Because I could only muster three guys, Chris. Who have you got?
I have Foster first. I have Jared Davis second. Raycon McMillan's third. I still have Zach Cunningham on my list. I'm just waiting for somebody to step up so I can take him off. And Anthony Walker Jr. from Northwestern, who this kid can hit you, and he can hit you hard. But I fear the hype's becoming a little too high on him. He's another one that I think can be a little flat-footed. And the more tape I watch of him, he seems to guess. And he seems to guess a lot. So once the ball snaps, he attacks a gap. And the line or the running back more times than not would sidestep and hit another hole. So I question his instincts. I think that might drop him a little bit.
Okay. And Rob?
I mean, as far as inside linebacker, I mean, I don't think it's a heavy class, but, you know, I got three guys. It's literally the three guys that you mentioned, Neil. I got Foster at one. I have I like Cunningham, I think, more than you guys do. and then, you know, Raekwon, the chef for Ohio State. That was a Wu-Tang reference, for those of you that don't know.
Nope. Was over my head. I felt like a limbo dancer there.
But yeah.
Anybody else, Rob?
No, I'm kind of thankful that the Bills have a halfway decent middle linebacker and probably won't have to draft one. But if they take, I'd love to see him with Foster and have him play in whatever they're going to do defensively. He's really good. But everyone else, yeah.
And do we think that Foster's problems at the combine, is that going to hinder him in the draft selection?
It's a big thing. I don't necessarily think it will either. But teams right now do have to figure out he's either Patrick Willis or Ronaldo McClain. And that's going to be the big challenge. Because I could see him going to San Francisco at number two. Would not surprise me at all. But is he, he's a team leader. Is he smart enough to be? There's issues here.
Yeah. And there's also, there's issues injury-wise. He's also missed quite a bit of time, hasn't he, with injuries over the last couple of years.
There's been some injuries. The one thing that, and you know, I didn't think about it, and I kind of been kicking myself for it. Somebody had mentioned online that he leads with his helmet too much, and he's going to be just a walking fine in the NFL. And also, yeah, the risk of concussions. Going back,
Stinger.
Yeah, he spears everybody.
Yeah,
that's something.
Okay, let me ask you one question. Yeah, sorry, Chris. Yeah, one question about Foster for both of you guys. Rob first. He plays behind, or he had played at Alabama behind an outstanding defensive line, and with great players around him. Do you think his small stature, being only 6 feet and 230, 235, is that going to hinder him at the next level? When he's
I don't think it'll hinder him a lot. Especially with the way defenses are now playing, it's a little bit more spread out. I mean, I just think of Zach Thomas. You know, he was a heat-seeking missile coming out of, Texas Tech. And he wasn't a big guy. He was probably shorter than that. he probably weighed a little less, probably maybe about the same. But I mean, I don't think that his size is gonna, you know, hinder him in the NFL. No.
Yeah, I don't see any issues with him. I think he'll be, if he can get his head on straight, that he very well could be the best player taken in this draft.
True, and I think the comparisons to Zach Thomas end when he has to drop into coverage, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that part, but I mean, just, you know, getting into the mix there.
yeah, sure, yeah, nothing like a Zach Thomas mention. right, so in terms of inside linebackers, we've got Reuben Foster, Raekwon McMillan, Jared Davis, Zach Cunningham, and Chris, give me one of the smaller school guys you had on your, or the smaller names you had on your list for number five.
You know, I'm going to go with Elijah Lee, actually. I like that.
Ah,
I think I'm going to go with Rob on him.
Good. Right, let's move on then to you, Chris, and take us through. Wow, you got a good group, didn't you? You got the safeties.
Safeties. Now, I broke these up through both free and strong, so I didn't know if you wanted to run through both or just combine them. But
yeah, let's combine them. But give us your top five, and then just say which position you think they'll play.
Okay. Well, Hooker and Adams, and you can flip flop those all you want. I think I might have Adams first.
No. Yeah, give us your one and two.
it's very close, though. I really like what both of them bring to the table. I lean towards Adams because there's more film on him, but go ahead.
Yeah, and do you think Adams will be a strong or a free? Or a bit of both?
It depends on who takes him. I think he's a better strong than free. But I do think he has the ability to play free safety and play it at a high level. Mm-hmm. Going from there, I have...
Peppers?
No peppers. I really like Cameron Sutton out of Tennessee. I know he's projected at corner. He's been a lot of the East-West game as a single high safety, and I thought he did very well. He's somebody who I think could be a good ball hawk. Eddie Jackson out of Alabama. You know, he lost the season with injury, but the kid's a stud. And if he can come back healthy, he's going to be a steal. I think he'll fall to the third, fourth round. From there, I would go with Buda Baker and then everybody's boyfriend, Obi Melifonwu from UConn. Mm-hmm. I don't get the first-round buzz on him. I understand he's an athletic freak, but I just keep having the highlight reel of the running back from San Diego State running him over in the All-Star game. And that kid's 175 pounds. So I don't care if the scale tells me you're 220, 6'4", if a 5'8", 175-pound kid puts you on your butt, we got a problem.
Very true.
But that would be my list. Who are you looking at, Rob?
I have some of the same names. Number one, I got Jamal Adams. Big fan of his. Another play I'd love to see drop to 10. Malik Hooker, I have it too, who... You know, I know I said he, you know, would be my Hall of Fame pick, but that was more on what I think his stats will reflect, just his interceptions, because I think he'll play free. Jamal Adams, I think, is a better prospect than him, although it's not by any large degree. Number three is Buda Baker. A little undersized, but I think, you know, you mentioned single high. I think Buda Baker would excel in a, you know, role like that as well. Number four, I do have Jabril Peppers there. And really, I mean, the one thing that he does do that I think is okay, he's just, you know, he's a Swiss Army knife in that, you know, he can play a couple different positions. So I think scheme flexibility, you know, that's an asset. I don't think he's a first-round guy, though. When I see him in a mock in the first round, I disagree. And then lastly... I don't even know if this would be my fifth, but he's close, and I just like watching him, and that's Justin Evans, the kid from Texas A&M, and that's just because he's a big-time hitter. He can miss tackles because I think he is at least mildly concerned about laying the big stick, and not using fundamentals. But that being said, when he does, it's really fun to watch.
Now let's hear it, Neil. Tell me why I'm wrong on Jabril Peppers. Let's hear your safeties.
Okay, my five would be absolutely Jamal Adams. I think we're he's in terms of safeties, he's the Reuben Foster, isn't he, of safeties. He's the best by a long way for me, because of his, I mean, he absolutely nailed the interviews and teams just loved him. They saw him as a real potential leader on the field, and that's great to have that leadership ability in that position at strong safety. I'm not sure he's got the real sort of great speed to play sort of free safety, but the guy is absolutely outstanding. So oh my goodness, if he fell to number 17, which is absolutely no chance whatsoever, but that'll be great for Washington. Hooker, yeah, I think Hooker is number 2 on my list and looks terrific, but there's not a lot of tape on Hooker, really. He's played the bulk of one season and not even the full season. Whereas Adams, you've got 2 or 3 years there of really good tape, so that's why Adams is over Hooker for me. Yes, I have the great Jabril Peppers at number 3. I think he can be a strong safety in this league. I share your concerns, Chris, and you make me question it, but I'm going to put him in there, and hopefully he develops into a strong safety. I don't think he can play free safety. I don't think he can play linebacker. So he's going to have to play strong safety, and maybe that will help him focus on a position. Buda Baker I have number 4, and Obi Melifonwu I have there. The one guy I would throw in, not as number 6, maybe higher up this list, maybe even number 3, would be Iowa's Desmond King, who is on my cornerback list, but I think he has the size and the instincts to play free safety. I'd be interested to know if you guys think that too.
He's on my free safety list. Yeah. I had a hard time picking between him and Cameron Sutton. I think Cameron Sutton's just a little bit more fluid of an athlete.
Do you think King will play corner as well in the league?
I hope not. He is painfully slow. So unless you find it that's going to let him just play a soft zone, he's going to have to play safety.
All right. Okay, then, Chris, give us our five then. Rob, you've gone already, haven't you? So give us our five.
Yep.
Well, I think we consensus at the top was Adams and then Hooker. Buda Baker, I believe we had on everybody's list. So that gives us, what, 3? And then I don't think we agreed on anybody else. I'm going to put my... If I got to pick one to add in there, I would say Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, I have him on my list at number 7.
And, well, Obi Malafanu, I'm forgetting. We had him, I think, as a consensus as well. Yeah. So,
oh, that's it.
Yeah,
there we go.
That's it. Boom.
Yeah, what a really good group, strong group of safeties. I have 7 guys on my list in total, and then we come to the cornerbacks. I mean, let me run through my 5 cornerbacks for you, and I will keep it to 5. I've got Marcus Lattimore, number 1. I've got Marlon Humphrey, number 2. I've left Sidney Jones on there at number 3 because I still think that when he comes back from his injury. In what's going to probably be about 12 months' time. He's going to miss a season, so I think he's still good enough to be number 3 on my list. I've got Tre'Davious White. Is it Tre'Davious or Trey? Yeah. Trey White. I've got Desmond King at number 5. And, I mean, you can. I've added Tease Tabor in here because I think we need to speak about Tease Tabor. But you can have Quincy Wilson, you can have Moreau from UCLA. We could go on all night and do a separate podcast for the cornerbacks. What do you think, Chris?
No, you're absolutely right. The lists are insane. I don't have Sidney Jones on my list anymore because of the injury. He was my top player. He was my number 1. It's terrible. Marshawn Lattimore I have as my number 1 now. And then I think I would go with Gideon Conley from Ohio State as well for the number 2 spot. From there, you're looking at Marlon Humphreys, Tre'Davious White, and then I'm a big Jordan Lewis fan. Now, I haven't got to read too much about it, but there has been a domestic violence case that's come up recently with him. That would be really unfortunate. He's a really strong nickel corner that just can put him in someone's back pocket and let him go. And there's a lot of concerns about his size at 5'10", 188. I think it was the Wisconsin game where he sealed the game with that 100 interception. Go back and watch that film and tell me he has a hard time playing against somebody bigger than him. The kid is ridiculously talented. I just hope he doesn't make poor enough decisions to keep him from achieving his goal.
Okay, Rob?
My top five, I decided to leave Sidney Jones on my list, but I do have Marshon Lattimore, number one. I have Sidney Jones, number two. Tre'Davious White, I have number three. And then I have Marlon Humphrey, four, and Gerrion Conley at number five. The only other name I want to mention is that I kind of considered putting in the top five is the kid from USC, Adoree Jackson, who, I mean, that he's not in the top five just kind of shows how much depth and how strong the cornerback position is.
This is a great class.
Oh,
great class.
Really is.
And either are you guys going to give any credence to Tease Tabor being up there in the top five?
Not really. He needs to show me that 4-6 was an error. He needs to really show out on his pro day, or else no. Not with the baggage that he has. You know, I think we said earlier, you can't be a character issue and slow. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Okay, let's have a look then at who the top five is going to be. I think Lattimore is going to be number one for us. Then we'll go, Humphrey, White,
I think Sidney Jones is pretty expensive. Yeah.
And yeah. Conley, five.
Yeah.
Chris, can you go?
I just want to ask a quick question here. Let's see if you guys have any concerns, because it's something that I've been pondering. You know, Washington, we finished off our top five lists. Washington had both Jones and Buda Baker. King is very high on my list as well, and I think, Rob, you mentioned him. Does it bring any concern to you when you have this many players in a secondary at the same time? Do you think that, you know, because I always have an issue. Alabama has this problem where not one of them was truly that good. They just worked very well together. Do you have any concerns about this Washington secondary?
No, because if I did, I'd have to have problems with the Ohio State secondary.
Very fair.
Because you got Hooker, and then, you know, you also have Conley and Lattimore. I mean, you know, Washington gets, you know, they get good recruits out there, so I hear what you're saying. I think it's something that can be said, but I think I like Washington. So I think that, you know, it's talent and not necessarily a couple really good schematic fits that work well together.
I think you'd have to add LSU in there too, don't they? Don't they have Tre'Davious White and Jamal Adams in their secondary? One thing I would say, Chris, is that I'd be more. When I watch film, I like to see the cornerbacks especially, and maybe a little bit also with the safeties too. But I want to see the cornerbacks playing against good wide receivers.
Absolutely.
That's. It doesn't bother me so much if there's three kind of future Pro Bowlers in that secondary. I want to see them going one. I want to see Marshon Lattimore going one on one against Mike Williams or see them playing John Ross, that sort of thing. I think that gives you a better picture of, you know, just that man-on-man, one-on-one, like football used to be when it was one guy against the guy in front of you, and see that play out. Although, there's got to be also a correlation between, well, I would guess the Texas A&M secondary had a slightly easier time when Myles Garrett was on the field.
Well, and that's just going to happen whatever team he goes to in the NFL. Secondary is going to have a better time with Myles Garrett on the field.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a relationship there as well, isn't there, between how good the corners are. If the front, like Alabama, I mean, it's always your concern, surely, with Alabama is if you take one of their players, are you getting the really good one, or are you getting the guy who looked terrific because the guys around him were just outstanding? It must be a tricky one. It must be very difficult to scout that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Rob, Chris, we have done our top five guys. So shall we move on then to the final question for us? Which, well, I have two questions. First question, just a slightly funny one, because you guys are big fantasy football guys, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it make you sick seeing a draft like this when it's almost entirely defensive players at the top positions, knowing that coming into the league are going to be some top defensive players and then maybe not so great in the offensive side?
It's not a great
fantasy points.
It's not a great dynasty league draft. It's not a year you want to be picking high in one of those, or picking low in one of those. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy who's got five of the first 22 picks and for the offensive rookies in their dynasty draft. Oh wait, that's me. I think there's some talent. Well, there is. The defense is so good this year. There is. So yeah. I mean,
I'm just looking at my top 17 players. I have 6 offensive players and 11 defensive players, and I might even be a bit generous there.
Yeah, but none of them are probably offensive tackle.
No, true. That's fair. So. That's fair. They're receivers and tight ends and running backs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you're just trying to get a positive spin on here, aren't you?
I need a positive spin on it, man. Yeah. I traded my whole team.
All right, well, we look forward to keeping up with that news every week in the podcast, Rob. It'd be great. Depress us all. Right, let's have the top five. We're not going to make one. We're not going to make one combined list here. But Rob, why don't you start us off with your five top offensive players in this draft?
All right. So my number one is Leonard Fournette. My number two is actually OJ from Alabama. I think he's going to be a real difference maker at the tight end. Number three, I have Corey Davis. I know he's injured, but I'm a big fan of his. Number four, I have, and he won't be the fourth drafted. He won't be the fourth drafted offensive player this year, but Mixon from Oklahoma. And then number five, I got Ross, the wide receiver out of Washington.
Okay, Chris.
Well, for my first guy is O.J. Howard. I mean, he was my Hall of Fame pick on last week's show. The kid's just a stud. Christian McCaffrey at 2, Deshaun Watson at 3. I think Evan Ingram at 4.
Really?
And then I'm going to go Curtis Samuel at 5. Curtis Samuel is a stud. Get on that bandwagon quick. He's going to be
right, Chris,
huge
all right,
next year.
All right.
I'm telling you. Someone's going to wave that flag.
We're going to have an entire podcast on Chris's top 5. You've got McCaffrey, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
This isn't some guy who's just got the same name as that quarterback from Clemson, is it? He's not a running back from from Georgia or somewhere, is he?
You know, it's more of what we just discussed. I think the offensive side of this draft is pretty weak. But I'm still pretty high on Deshaun Watson. I think he's every quarterback at this stage has things to work on. But give me a kid who shows up under the lights, and he's done that 2 years in a row now. So I like him. If you have a team that could give him a chance to sit for a year or two, you're going to get a lot in return.
Okay, well, let's hope he gets that in the league. I'm not sure he will, but let's hope so. All right, my five then are Leonard Fournette, 1. Actually quite similar to Rob's, really. Leonard Fournette, 1. O.J. Howard, Alabama tight end, 2. Then Washington's John Ross, 3. Dalvin Cook, the Florida State running back, 4. And Corey Davis, the Western Michigan wide receiver, 5th. It would be a toss-up there with Davis and Mike Williams in the top 5. Okay, and defensive players, Chris, why don't you go first, and then we can all sit here aghast at the 5 players you're going to name.
This is hard to only do 5, but Myles Garrett is the top of my list. Reuben Foster is the 2nd. 3rd would be Jamal Adams. 4th would be Solomon Thomas, and then 5th I would go with Hashan Reddick at a Temple.
Yeah. Pretty impressive list. Yeah, pretty impressive. Rob?
All right. My list is pretty similar to that, actually. I have, Myles Garrett, number one. I think that's going to be all of our, number one guy. Number two, I have Jamal Adams. Number three, I have Foster. And then number four, I have Malik Hooker. And then my fifth, I have Solomon Thomas out of Stanford.
Okay, and my five are Myles Garrett, obviously number one, Jamal Adams two, Reuben Foster three, Marshawn Lattimore, the Ohio State cornerback four, and Solomon Thomas five. And there we go, a top five defensive list without Jonathan Allen, which is quite unusual if you'd think, if we were doing this 2 months ago. That's what arthritis in your shoulders does for you, I suppose.
I'm telling you, he's going to fall out of the top 10. Would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. Where do you have it? You had him at 14, Chris. Is that right? You said 14 on your list of players?
I'd have to go back. I don't think he would fall past 14. But I think he's going to fall. 14 might be a little low. But it'll be one of those things where I know Saints fans will be furious when they pass on him at 11.
Yeah. What about you, Rob? Where would you have Jonathan Allen at the moment?
I think, you mentioned the number 14. I think that's right around, the area that he could go. I think he's definitely going to fall. I think he's going to fall out of the top 10. And I don't think that New Orleans would take him at 11. 12 is Cleveland. I mean, maybe there, but I think, I think they would maybe, I don't know. I think starting from 12 on to 16 is maybe my spot, my little sweet spot for him.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at sort of like Browns, Cardinals, Colts, Eagles, and Ravens, that sort of grouping.
Right in there. I could see, I don't think he could, maybe the Ravens wouldn't let him pass if his shoulders didn't look terrible, but I mean, I think that's something the teams are going to want to avoid, especially in a draft that's as loaded as this year. I mean, it's a loaded draft. I mean, you can get a good player at 12, and not feel bad about missing out on him because there's just a lot of really good players this year.
But could you imagine Cleveland take Garrett at 1 and Allen at 12?
Well, I mean, it could happen. I'm a big fan of them going defensive line with 1 and 12, because they could get their two edge guys, for that. They're going to run that kind of, who's that? Williams is their defensive coordinator now. So that they're probably going to run that 4-3 kind of attacking style. Man, this would be a good year to add two stud defensive players.
Chris, what do you think?
No, I agree. I think your Arizona Cardinals at 13. They just lost Calais Campbell. That's a big spot for them. But again, it's a tribute to this draft, and it's also pointing to the needs of the draft. When you go through here, he's not the first pick for Cleveland. San Francisco wouldn't invest that high on him. Jamal Adams at Chicago, maybe. But you've got Jacksonville right there at 4. Where I think he's projected at most mock drafts. But there's a very good chance Jacksonville has the opportunity to team up Jalen Ramsey last year with a Malik Hooker or Jalen Adams. I don't know how you pass that up when you just signed Calais Campbell to play that role. So it's hard to find a spot for him. It really is. And that's, I don't – Carolina at 8, they value defensive linemen. I know Fournette's the popular pick there. I don't see that happening, but – It's going to be a bad day for Allen. Or he's a Chicago Bear. Either way.
Yeah, possibly. And that, guys, we finish off this show, which leads us, and that just leads us perfectly into next week's show, where we're going to do, we're going to do a mock draft between us. And we're going to do it that, I can't remember. Did I say that Rob had the first pick, and then Chris, and then me? Anyway, some order of the three of us picking. So we'll get every third selection each, if that makes sense. So, Rob, you'll get Cleveland and one, two, Jacksonville and the Chargers then after that. So it's going to be good fun. We're going to go through that. We're hopefully going to do that in about 45 minutes. fingers crossed. But Ross is going to do it in the sense of Rob will tell us not only who Cleveland will take with their first pick, but he will also discuss what the sort of 1-2 combination picks will be. So, yeah, let's say Myles Garrett, and then, like you were saying, Rob, solidifying that defensive line with somebody like an Allen or one of the other defensive tackles later on either in the first round or the top of the second, as it'll be for most teams. So we're going to do that. We're also going to have an interview next week, guys, so shirt and ties on and best behavior. We're going to have Matt Phillips from 40 Yard Scouting, who you can find on Twitter. He's going to come on and he's going to enlighten us a little bit about his scouting work that he does. I think he's Europe's only sort of scout who puts out a draft profile and a draft book in time for the draft each year. So Matt from the UK, so that'll balance it out a little bit. UK American battle here, and he'll be joining us for an interview. That'll be great to hear Matt's perspective on this year's fantastic draft. And guys, all I can say is get your mock drafting underway, and I'll speak to you guys next week.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.